You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
A week after national elections, many laud the emergence of a multi-party democracy in Mexico. But the horrific attack by security forces on the town of San Salvador de Atenco in May showed that repression against campesinos and indigenous people continues. Political corruption and allegations of election fraud also persist. As I speak, thousands rally in Mexico City to protest the official election results. In the midst of continued struggle, one hopeful change in Mexican civil society is the emergence of an independent trade union movement. At the forefront of union activism are teachers in the southern state of Oaxaca. Striking teachers there are being credited with ending the domination of the PRI in Oaxaca, despite an attempt by the governor to crush their strike. Larry Keane is with the BC Teachers Federation. He helped organize the visit of Oaxacan teacher and union activist Antonio Garcia to the recent World Peace Forum here in Vancouver. And he joins me in the studio this morning to tell us a little bit more about the strike. Hi, Larry.
Good morning.
Now, I understand that this strike was about more than just wages and working conditions. What were teachers demanding?
They were demanding school meals for the children, particularly in the rural areas of Oaxaca. The families are lucky if they can get their children to school at all. And, you know, so they're looking for, you know, a variety of kind of social demands that related to education. You know, textbooks, the real basics of having kids able to learn because they're, you know, fed and, you know, and have access to materials.
Did they also have larger political goals in the sphere of like national politics or state politics?
Well, they've always been, you know, for a very long time have been demanding more. The structure in Mexico is such that there is a negotiation of sorts at the national level, you know, and on May 15th each year, the Mexican Teachers Day, the government announces what they're giving to teachers after that. But teachers in Oaxaca have often gone on strike to get the state government to supplement what the national government was doing, and that's really what was happening in this case.
Now, in June, there was a massive effort by security forces to put down the strike. What happened?
Well, the teachers have been occupying the Zocalo, the center or the large area in the center of the city, and they had been there for about 3 weeks by that time. And in the middle of and we had messages from colleagues in Mexico saying that the police and army were being organized around the Zocalo, you know, and they were expecting that there would be some kind of action to try to remove the teachers. There were about 4,000 teachers in the center of the city, just sort of camping there. And the police and army moved in the middle of the night. They had helicopters, were dropping tear gas bombs. There were 1,500 police and army who came in and pushed the teachers out. And there were reports of several people dying, although the government denies that. Certainly Antonio, who was here, said that they knew of at least two people, a teacher and a child of a teacher, who had been killed in that. And I think about 60 people ended up in hospital that night. By the next day, the teachers came back, though, and were able to push the police back out of the Zocalo, and they're still camped there.
So are they getting support from the people in the town?
The day after the police attack, there was a march that is reported to have 400,000 people. There are only 70,000 teachers in Oaxaca, so it's, you know, 400,000 is a good indicator.
It's a smallish town.
Yes. It's not Mexico City. As Antonio described it to us, that there were now a whole lot of social movement issues beyond teachers and education and, you know, and even school kids, you know, getting lunches or whatever, that this had become a major social movement.
That have kind of coalesced around the initial...
Yes, yeah. And the central demand was in addition to meeting some of the social demands, was for the governor to resign. Now, not much happened in regard to that because, of course, it was a run-up to the presidential election, and that's what's captured all the attention now, of course.
So the governor has not yet resigned.
The governor hasn't resigned, but there were stories circulating that the agreement was that he wouldn't resign until after the presidential election. But with the contested results there, I'm sure that he will have a little more space than he did before.
Now, I understand that community radio has also been a target of repression. What's the role of community media been in this movement?
The teachers' union was actually running a radio station, and they were broadcasting live 24 hours a day. And when the police attacked the teachers in the Zocalo, they at the same time broke into the union offices and smashed the equipment. But there is a university students' radio station that then picked that up and continued to do the broadcast. So community radio was really the key means to communicate. If you can imagine turning out 400,000 people in basically one day period, you know you've got to have some kind of communication system that that gets the message out in order to get people to come and know what the story is on a demonstration like that.
And this is a radio station that was running just for the duration of the strike, or that had been running for an extended period?
I think that they had the teachers had had their own radio station for a while. It's really quite amazing. They've got a research center as well that. That's one of the gains the teachers made several years ago, was to set up an independent research center that teachers get about 20 teachers a year get out off their teaching duties to do research on education. And so they built up this kind of infrastructure that's part of the popular struggle generally there, but the teachers have really played a central role in that.
What is the role of popular movements in the trade union movement in Oaxaca?
Well, the Teachers Union in Mexico is the largest union in Latin America. It's got more than 2 million members. But it's also very bureaucratic. It was controlled by the party that controlled Mexico for 70 years. And in fact, you had to be a member of the PRI in order to teach until 1991.
You're kidding.
Yeah. So, but in the 80s, they developed this democratic current within the teachers' union, and so there are four states, where they are in the majority and have a majority on the executive, and they're mostly in the south. There's Chiapas Oaxaca, as well as in Mexico City, and they really have been the central group in terms of the trade union struggle, and they made a decision, a strategic decision, to stay in the union and fight within. There are others that opted out, and they're only very small and marginal, really, the FOT, the unions associated with the FOT, because the control has been so great in that kind of corporatist structure that existed in Mexico that's clearly falling apart now. But the teachers have played a very central role in that.
Now, what are some of the things that BC teachers have been doing to show solidarity with Mexican teachers?
Well, as soon as we heard about this happening, we did a letter and took it down to the consulate and met with the deputy consul to express our concern and ask the national government to pull the troops and police out of, in terms of that repression. And the executive committee voted to send $10,000 to the union to, because they basically are having to feed teachers now because they've been on strike for more than a month. And, so when Antonio was here, we were able to give him a check for that amount. And one of our locals in Victoria sent $500 as well as an expression of solidarity, reflecting the messages that we got when we were on strike last October, which were real morale boosters to teachers.
What happened then?
Well, when we were on strike, there was a group of teachers in Mexico City who went to the consulate and set up a protest there. They delivered a letter to the ILO, requesting the ILO to investigate. This happened in several Latin American countries as well, where we have long been doing solidarity kind of work. And it was an,
so there's a really strong connection going there.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. We've been working for about 25 years in various projects throughout Latin America. And in Mexico, since NAFTA, we've had this coalition called the Tri-National Coalition in Defense of Public Education. And some of us had been in Oaxaca just 2 months before the strike because we had a conference there that brought together Canadian, U.S., and Mexican teachers who are concerned about the kinds of issues around trade agreements and their impact on public education.
Are you finding that you're fighting the same kinds of issues there, fighting the same kinds of issues there as you are here?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, that's one of the things that globalization has done is to obviously at different levels of material support that we have, but the issues are very much the same, whether they're class size, curriculum issues, feeding kids who don't have meals. You know, those are common things to teachers, you know, really everywhere. And, you know, so it's a very sound basis for building solidarity.
Now, as I said before, you were part of a group that organized the visit by Antonio Garcia. What was his message to the World Peace Forum here in Vancouver?
Well, it was very interesting. He talked about all of the things that had been happening there, but he also said that the union was having some difficulty in adjusting to the new situation because this is not just a teachers' movement in Oaxaca now. It's become a broad social movement. And so the teachers have a level of responsibility to, you know, to not just get something for themselves and to, you know, but there really aren't structures to make decisions, you know, as we've seen.
It all sounds so familiar. Yeah,
that's
yes.
Right. That's certainly what struck me as I was listening to him, that it's, you know, even that is very much the same problem that we have always in trade unions and social movements trying to work together.
Well, thank you very much for coming down and telling us about it, Larry.
Great. If people are interested in looking at some video of the police attack, you can go to Working TV. If you just Google Working TV, you'll find there's some video on there as well as a number of stories about what's happening in Oaxaca.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Larry Keane. He's an executive with the BC Teachers Federation. And as he said, if you want to see a video of the police violence in Oaxaca, you can see Antonio Garcia's presentation at the World Peace Forum, then you can go to Working TV. I believe it's workingtv.com.